Welcome, friends and followers. This is Solutions to Violence, a program of and sponsored by Forward Radio, WFMP LP 106.5 FM. We are delighted you have joined us in our exploration of peace and nonviolence. Today, Fellowship of Reconciliation features Barbara Dunn. Barbara Dunn is the Vice President for Membership for the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. February 21st, Barbara Dunn was the featured speaker of the Third Thursday Lunch sponsored by the Fellowship of Reconciliation. Barbara Dunn's presentation concerns Carter G. Woodson and his seminal work, The Miseducation of the Negro, and the fact that African American history is taught, at best, from a cursory perspective in our parochial and public schools. Solutions to Violence, produced by Jim Johnson and Jamie McMillan, with technical assistance provided by Carolyn Brooks Johnson, is proud to present this extraordinary presentation conducted by FOR's guest speaker, Barbara Dunn. Pat Geyer, the co-chair of the FOR Steering Committee, introduces Barbara Dunn.
Announcements. My name is Pat Geyer. I'm chairperson of the Fellowship of Reconciliation. And together with Sowers of Justice Network, we welcome you to the Third Thursday Lunch Series. How many of you are new today to this event? Oh, wonderful. So we have lots of new people. Welcome. That's great to see you. I believe they brought in another tray of chicken that I saw. So if you didn't get any fried chicken, which is their specialty, please help yourself quietly to that. So I have a few announcements while people are waiting. First of all, many of you, but perhaps not all of you, receive a free subscription to the Forsooth newspaper, which has been in existence for decades. If you don't receive this in your mailbox and you would like to, or you would like to receive it online, please sign up out at the table. This newspaper gets mailed by a group of tireless volunteers who are always looking for help. It's always mailed on the third Thursday at the Presbyterian Seminary at 6:30 tonight in the Wynn Center. So Beverly Marmion, who is our fearless leader on these mailings, is ill. So if any extra hands could get there tonight at 6:30, it would be appreciated. The Fellowship of Reconciliation, the local chapter here, has a new position open for someone with bookkeeping skills, because our treasurer of 18 years had to retire. Tim Schildorf had to retire due to medical reasons. So we are anxious to get someone else and are really asking you to consider if you know anyone with bookkeeping skills that you think might want to volunteer for a very fine organization. Please see me or Chris Harmer, who is also co-chair of the local chapter. Please see me if you have any ideas about that. Now, two more announcements. On your table, most tables, you might see this flyer, which is from Food First, about an event that's coming in October. So look on your tables. It says, we need you for Food First, Food Justice. The event will be here at Hotel Louisville. There is a preliminary meeting to help organize the event on March 5th at Simmons College. And you can see Carl Rattan, who's in the back here. He's with the Sowers of Justice Network, about that if you're interested in putting some effort into that particular issue and event. March 2nd, but most of all, see Carl because he'll know a little more about that. One last announcement. Barbara Berman is here to tell you a little bit about the anti-boycott bill that is in the state legislature. Here's Barbara.
Hi, everyone. So there's a bill, HB 195, in Frankfurt, that has already passed through the House in 8 days, went through committees and through the Senate with a vote of 30-4-1, which is really disappointing because this bill is going to prevent people that have contracts with the state for their right to boycott. They will not be able to have any boycott policies in their businesses now or in the future. So a woman in Texas lost her job with She'd been a speech pathologist for 9 years. She's Muslim, and she refused to sign it, and she lost her job. So this is real. We're asking people to call the message line in Frankfurt and to ask all the state representatives to vote no on this bill. And if you'd like a handout, just put your hand up, and I'll give it to you. Thanks so much. Today would be good. Things are really flying through Frankfurt very, very quickly.
Okay, before we get to our speaker, has everybody gotten lunch? We're doing okay? Okay. Then I would like to introduce Barbara Boyd with the Sowers of Justice Network and other organizations in town, and she's going to introduce our speaker today.
Good afternoon, everybody. And I want to thank you all for coming out. What I would like to do before I introduce our speakers, there are some teachers here, educators from Jefferson County Public School and the Catholic school system. I'd like to have them stand up so that we could just acknowledge our educators that are here for Black History Month. Kathleen Parks is with National Action Network. Marilyn Hazard, Catherine, I just don't understand why you guys are not standing up. I want to acknowledge you all. So would you just stand up, please? Any teachers, thank you. I am really excited about introducing our speaker. I met her in October at a conference. The conference was called ASALA. I had never heard of it, even though Louisville has a history of having an organization, I guess I'd say back in the day. And it's my understanding we have one person here that was part of that organization, Nancy Dematra. And it's my understanding that some of the organizers have passed on. When I attended the ASALA conference in Indianapolis, I was amazed. I didn't know that we had an organization. I know we have a lot of organizations that are ethnically Black, but I didn't know we had an organization that was founded by Carter G. Woodson for the study of African American life and history. And a lot of us don't know our history. We know bits and pieces, but we are here today to hear from Barbara Spencer Dunn. She is Vice President of National ASALA out of Washington, D.C. And I met her in Indianapolis, and I've been talking about it since October 6, 2018, and I'm gonna keep talking about it because we need to have this organization here. We need to have it for our children. We need to have it for us because there's so much that we don't understand. The greatness that we come from kings and queens and that we helped build this country. And it's time for us to be empowered by the wonderful legacy that we come behind. Barbara also worked for NASA, and she's a fashion designer. Once a fashion designer, always a fashion designer. And she is the past president of the Youth Empowerment Organization, arm of ASALA. So it gives me great pleasure to introduce Barbara Spencer Dunn.
Good morning, everyone. I am so excited about being here, especially in the faith community. The prayers were prayed, and the snow, even though it fell, God still got me here. And I'm so excited because even our meetings yesterday, even though I was in D.C., I was on the phone with them, so we even accomplished the meetings that we were going to have yesterday. Because I really believe this has been divinely ordered today that I am here.
Yes.
I have no doubt in my mind. I am a preacher's kid. My father was a pastor for 36 years. And I want to say this word, and I want each of you to repeat it after me. Purpose. Say it again, loud and proud. Purpose.
Purpose.
I started with that word because as I introduce you to the father of Black history, Dr. Carter Godwin Woodson, Godwin is his middle name. God always wins.
Yes,
Carter Godwin Woodson. Amen. Born in 1875, to the parents, the word purpose is the word that I want you all to remember. Because as we talk about the father of Black history, Dr. Carter Godwin Woodson, Dr. Woodson found his purpose and he lived it. Which is why we're sitting in this room together today. Because the Fellowship of Reconciliation, when I read your mission statement, there is no way you can do your job well without connecting and collaborating with Asala. We were both born this chapter in 1915. Asala was born in 1915. It took us 104 years to get together, but this is the right time for us to get together. And I do believe that. So I have some readers that I want to come up here to do the reading that I gave them, because I'm going to start this presentation out introducing you to Dr. Carter G. Woodson. He is a man who found his purpose, and we all should know him. Could all the readers come up, please?
When Dr. Woodson founded Asala, one of his main thoughts in mind was harmony among the races. He set out to document the true account of the history of African Americans in the United States, and his hope was that other cultures, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, Native Americans, etc., would do the same. So the history of the United States that is taught to children in our schools would be complete and correct without distortion. Beginning in the 1960s, several years after his death, his dream became a reality. Other cultures began to lobby Congress to put in place celebrations for their history as well. And guess what? They followed the same plan, starting with a week, then expanding to a month. Did you know that in 1968, Congress authorized a celebration of Hispanic American Week that was expanded in 1988 to Hispanic American History Month?
Did you know that in October 1978, a bill was signed designating the first 10 days of May to celebrate Asian Pacific American Heritage Month? And in 1990, the celebration was expanded to a month-long celebration.
Did you know that the public celebration of women's history in this country began in 1978 as Women's History Week in Sonoma County, California? The week included March 8th, International Women's Day, was selected my birthday. In 1981, Congress proclaimed a National Women's History Week. Then, in 1987, Congress expanded the celebration to a month, and March was declared Women's History Month.
Did you know that August 1990 established the first celebration of National American Indian Heritage Month? Do you now understand the significance of Dr. Carter G. Wilson's legacy? He should not only be remembered as the father of Black history, but also a pioneer of multiculturalism. Dr. W.E. Du Bois once said, "No one has ever brought the entire nation's attention to the contributions of Blacks in America like Dr. Carter G. Woodson." And guess what? No one ever has. Dr. Woodson's work was not just for African Americans in the United States, but his work was for all people throughout the global community.
Yes, let's give Dr. Woodson a hand. Because this work, the Association for the Study of African American Life and History, still exists today. Just think about it. African American history has been documented about half the time that this country was born. Our history is well documented. So then why is it that schools still are not teaching that history fully in the schools? That is the goal that we have got to do. Because everyone in this room, and this is America, as we look around this room, this is America. We are all sisters and brothers. We originated in Africa, all of us. Civilization started there. And as we were transported or migrated, some of us forced migration, some of us migrated because we wanted to, but at the end of the day, everybody in this country migrated here. All right. We originated, our ancestors, even though we can't trace all the way back.
That's where it all began. So we're going to start off today saying, we are sisters and brothers, all from one blood. And we've got to get back to seeing ourselves all as human beings, all desiring the same things for our families, all with hearts that beat, with veins that the blood flows through. We are God's creation. And Carter G. Woodson knew that. Carter G. Woodson was a biblical scholar. And if you read his readings, you will see scripture quoted throughout his readings, even though he doesn't put the scriptures there. But if you are a biblical scholar, you will recognize it. Because Dr. Woodson understood what was needed for us to come together as a people. And that is my goal today, to start you on a thought journey, to start thinking a little different about how you see this world and how you see your role in it. That is why the first word that I said when I started was what?
Purpose.
Purpose. Each of us were born for a purpose. Each of us must find our purpose and start our kingdom assignment so we can change what's happening in this world today. And I am now very excited that God has brought me to this point in my life, because when I was even 12 years old, I realized then I wanted people to come together. I was only 12. When my dad introduced me to Carter G. Woodson's book, The Miseducation of the Negro, it was on his shelf, his bookshelf, and I saw it. And the title, The Miseducation of the Negro, caught my attention. And I was like, wow, Dad, what is that? And I was 11 at the time. And my dad said to me, read it. If you have any questions, come and ask me. Can you imagine my dad giving me Miseducation of the Negro at 11 years old? And if you've read it, you know how deep that book is. But it was the right time for me to read it. It changed the way I thought. Along with my biblical knowledge at the time and that book, I was on a mission. And I've been on that mission ever since. Thank you. I want to share with you some readings that John Hope Franklin, who is one of Dr. Woodson's mentors, Dr. Woodson set out to mentor, and the association that he founded still has that mentoring legacy today. I want you to listen closely to what Dr. Woodson's mentee said about Dr. Woodson and about how this country has been set up. As the South assumed the responsibility for determining the Negro's fate in American society, it proceeded to take steps to create a position of permanent inequality for the Negro. Through a systematic program of disenfranchisement, segregation, and discrimination, the Negro was denied the rights and privileges of citizenship that had been guaranteed in the Reconstruction Amendments. In the program to fasten up the Negro the badge of inferiority in the South enlisted the support not only of politicians, who provided legal sanctions for its designs, and the businessmen who rejected the Negro as a worker in the new industrial order, but also the historian who confirmed in the community the South's claim that the Negro never had been and never could become a worthy citizen of the community. These students of man's past experiences proved to be willing accomplices in the conspiracy to degrade a whole race of men. In their writings, they blandly asserted that the Negro had never developed a civilization of his own, vigorously argued that the Negro possessed childlike traits, and claimed with conviction that the Negro's history supported the view that the best role for him was one of subordination. They rewrote much of the nation's history from this point of view and emphasized the barbarism of the newly arrived African, the docility of the Negro slave, and the ineptitude of the Negro politician during Reconstruction. This was effective yeoman service, which the historian was performing the program to traduce the Negro. Although organized efforts to improve the status of the Negro were well underway by the beginning of World War I, and to be sure, the NAACP and the Urban League were performing important services in their respective areas of activity, these organizations could not do the entire job of rehabilitating the position of the Negro in American life, any more than the Southern demagogues alone could destroy it. Negroes needed writers, historians, essayists, and others
who could not only inspire pride in their past, but refute the claims of the historians who supported the Southern demagogues. Carter G. Woodson was especially well qualified to meet the urgent need for an historian of the Negro people. His formal training at Berea, the Sorbonne, the University of Chicago, and Harvard provided him with the skills he needed and the appreciation for scientific study that were to be reflected in many of his writings. In 1921, Dr. Woodson published The History of the Negro Church, the first scholarly effort in the important field. It not only portrays the history of religious activities among Negroes during the period of slavery, but describes in much detail the rise of the independent Negro church among Negroes before and since emancipation. John L. Franklin got a chance to meet Dr. Woodson, and Dr. Woodson mentored Dr. Franklin from the time he met him as a 19-year-old going to his first ASALA conference until the time he died, until Dr. Woodson died in 1950. And he really enhanced Dr. Franklin's life, according to Dr. Franklin. So today, I want you to start to think about your point of reference. As we talk about where Dr. Woodson was born, he was born in 1875, 10 years after his parents were freed from enslavement. Slavery ended in 1865. There's a timeline of historical events, and these are just some events that I want you to all study each of those events on this paper. If you put your email address on the back of that paper today, we will send that timeline to you. Those events, I want you to look at them. And as far as you can go back in your family history, I want you to start inserting things that happened in your family in that timeline. Everything that's written out in green besides the dates are my family history. I inserted in that timeline as a model for you. I want you to take that and start to do your family research. When Dr. Woodson was born in 1875, it was the perfect time as he became of age during the time that he started this association. He graduated with a PhD from Harvard University in 1912. This was the lowest point of race relations in this country. Can you imagine what Dr. Woodson went through getting a PhD from Harvard? One of his professors actually told him the Negro had no history. And we really believe that was one of the things that spurred Dr. Woodson towards starting this association. In 1915, when he started this association, Birth of a Nation, the original Birth of a Nation, was actually shown. And actually, our president at the time, Woodrow Wilson, actually featured it at the White House. What was going on in this country at the time when Dr. Woodson was coming of age, when he started this association, when he started to document this history, and even in the midst of that, when he knew we needed to come together as a people. He was doing this for all of us, but he knew he had to take on documenting the African-American portion. And as you heard, others in other cultures came together and did the same. Because this country has got to change the way we do education. This is the thought journey I want you to go on today. I want everyone to go back to their point of reference. Where did your family start? Why do you think about certain things the way you think about them? This is a faith community, and we know we were all born with the innate ability to know right from wrong. I don't care who told you that someone who looks like me is inferior, unintelligent. Once you meet one of us, you have to change your mind. And if you meet one of us that look like the ones they show on television all the time, I'm gonna teach you something today. That is our subculture. That is not our culture. That subculture has been created because of what this country has done with education. There are a lot of people who look like me that have no clue who they really are. And we have to help them understand who they really are. Not only do we want them to know their history from their parents and foreparents, they need to know who they are in Christ. The depth of the energy that we put into miseducating That's the energy we've got to put into educating. I was a 1968 high school graduate. And at that time, if you all know what happened in 1968 was a crisis year.
Yes.
It was a crisis year. It impacted everybody everywhere, no matter where you were. And if everybody to stop and think for a minute, I want everybody to close their eyes. 1968. Think about it. So much happened that year. So I want to take you back, because this year culminates three significant histories that happened last year. 1968 to this year, 2019, we're culminating the 50th year of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. We're culminating the 200th anniversary of Frederick Douglass's birth. We're culminating the 85th anniversary of the writing of The Miseducation of the Negro by Carter G. Woodson. But I'm introducing you to a history that starts this year. In 2009, for the first time, the Association for the Study of African American Life and History released a publication that Dr. Woodson wrote in 1921. It was called Carter G. Woodson's Appeal. It was Dr. Woodson's appeal to the whites of their treatment of the Negro in 1921. It was lost in Asala's files, sealed in an envelope, complete manuscript, telling why he did not publish it. And I'm going to share with you why. He was asked to write it by Jesse Moreland and Channing Tobias, who were both members of the YMCA, the Young Men's Christian Association. And they asked him to write it in response to W.D. Weatherford's Present Forces in Negro Progress. They did not like his treatment of the black minister in the book. So they asked him not to publish it. Now, Dr. Woodson had started a publishing company in 1921, and he could have published it, but he honored that. But for him to put it in an envelope, sealed, with a note why he didn't write it, it was his hope somebody was gonna find that manuscript one day and publish it. So Asala didn't have any choice but to publish that manuscript. So it was published in 2009, the year President Barack Obama was inaugurated, which is really, again, divinely ordered. We are asking everyone, everywhere, to read that book this year. We want you to read it in the month of February into March and have a discussion in March. If you can't not make that timeline before this year is out, read that book, get a group of people to read it with you, and sit down in a discussion, and this group can do that. You could even do that for one of your Thursday lunches. So when you look at those dates and those times, we want to think about, what is freedom? What is equality? You can be locked behind bars and still be free. Because freedom starts here, in your mind. And this is where all the lies and deceit and the distortions also start, in your mind. So when you see that subculture that I told you about, of people who look like us, they just have not yet discovered who they are. And trust me, we are working to get them back to where they need to be. But now all of you are charged to do the same thing. For the white culture, many of you feel uncomfortable when you hear that your family owns slaves. Well, there are a lot of cultures, we all own slaves. But let me tell you when you should not feel uncomfortable. If you today are not still perpetuating some of the same things that were perpetuated, you should free yourself. Yeah. Free yourself. Free yourself. Free yourself. Because you are in the group that are going to work to help make this world a better place. But you cannot do it without having the knowledge to do so. So all of you should be a member of Asala. Because guess what happens when you become a member of Asala? Dr. Woodson started the Journal of Negro History in 1916. You will have access to every single journal from 1916 to present digitally. If you join the branch of Asala that's going to start in Louisville very soon, all branch members can opt to get a print copy of the journal. Now, a lot of our millennials and the Xers and all, a lot of them don't want to keep adding books because they like the digital versions. But there are some of us, like the baby boomers, like me, that still like your hard copy of the book. If you're a member of a branch only, you can opt to get that in print copy. So I want to focus on a couple of things, because when we think about people like Martin Luther King, how much do you really know about Martin Luther King? I want to focus on the man in a way many forget. Dr. King was a preacher, a pastor, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. But does that mean in relationship to what and why he gave himself so freely? Taking a stand for nonviolence, loving his neighbor even when he did not love him back? Let's take a look at Dr. King and what he said to us. He gave us a roadmap, really, that we should follow after Birmingham. Do many of you remember the Birmingham Children's Crusade? Yeah. And those of you who don't, I'm going to share with Pat and Barbara a link. And all of you as groups need to get together and watch the Birmingham Children's Crusade, because we were integrated by Brown versus Board legally. But really, the Children's Crusade is what really ended segregation in this country, and that happened in 1963. So I'm planting seeds today because I'm asking you to start educating yourself. We're going from our ignorance, which is just, you don't know. Don't look at the word negatively, because ignorance means you just don't know. And we're going to go from our ignorance to the truth, because the truth exists. We've got to start leaning and depending on the truth. Let's look at King, a believer, a Christian. What is a believer? What is the importance of a believer in the world? For those who identify as Christians, people around us expect certain behavior. And as I told you, I can talk about that because I was a pastor's daughter and my dad was a pastor for 36 years. And my mom was a woman of great faith. But it just so happens that I engaged in a recent Bible study where they talked about what a believer is. When you are a believer, it keeps you from thinking too little of yourself, but also too much of yourself. I don't know how my parents did it, but they raised us. I never saw myself as inferior, but I never saw myself as superior. I saw myself as created equal. And when I came out of that house, at 16, when my mom let me go downtown, because for some reason, I say for some reason, at that time was my thinking, but when I came 30 years old, I figured it out. My mom never let me and my sisters go downtown by ourselves until we were 16 years old. But by the time I was 16, they had planted in me something that I knew who I was. So the first engagement with racism that I had at a Woolworth store, when the lady in the store called me the N-word. Everybody knows Woolworth. I looked at the lady and I said to her, ma'am, if I were you, I wouldn't call the next person you see that looks like me that word. I said, we really don't like that word. And the next person that you see like me, they probably won't act like I'm acting. And I walked away. I think about it. Can you imagine what she was? She probably said, what just happened? But I had no problem doing that because I knew I was not that word. And I knew it was something she was missing. So I didn't have a problem with it. That's when I really learned what the word, the spirit of meekness, is all about. Meekness is not weakness. It's power under control. So all those, that Sunday school and that biblical study, all those fruit of the spirit, learning the meaning and how to use them, I was actually putting it into action. And so that's what we've got to do. If you don't start your children with that biblical foundation, where will they go when they run into situations like that? So let's lay a foundation. Dr. King was a believer. And he made this statement, and I quote, everybody can be great because everybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. Love is something that this Fellowship of Reconciliation is guided by. But what is love? If you say you fall in love and you feel a certain kind of way when You see the person? Well, I would suggest that might be indigestion. Love is an action word. It's what you do. It's not how you feel. Because when you love somebody, even when they treat you badly and you feel a certain way, you can still love them. But remember, love and kindness go together.
Yes.
We can say we love each other, but we are mean sometimes. Love and kindness go together. And also, get that spirit of meekness. You don't want to deny telling somebody the truth when they hurt your feelings because you don't know how to come back at them. Pray about it and ask God to show you how to tell them the truth in love, because that is what's wrong. Both in my culture and in every culture in this room, there are people that sit at your tables day after day saying very negative, racist things, but you sit there and don't say a word. And a lot of times it's your family members. This day, all of you, by the end of this program, are going to be deputized to be ambassadors for the truth. That means you don't know everything yet. We will never know everything. My dad made a statement. He said, as long as you live, you will be learning. When you stop learning, you have stopped living. So you can be dead walking around right now. So we're awakening our spirits today so we can be ambassadors for the truth. That means you're going to start with that list on the table. Study every one of those events in history. See how you can line your family things up with that history, because there is somebody in your family that knows something. And that is why we're asking all of you to join Asala as we promote online the Family Mentoring Mission Statement activity, where we're asking every family to go and interview people who are 70 and older in your family. Don't let them leave here with the information they have in their head. You've got to get it down, because if they leave here with it, it's gone. So it's important for you to know your history. Dr. King presented his body as a living sacrifice. That's what a believer is asked to do. He was considered the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Salt preserves, it purifies, it flavors, it heals, it works in all temperatures. For as a believer, can work in all environments because of our faith. Let's look at light. Light illuminates, it inspires, it defeats darkness, it provides vision, it gives life. When you study the importance of salt in ancient biblical times, you will find it was extremely important, and when people gave salt, it was a sacrifice. You were given something extremely important and valuable. So when we look at Dr. King today, let's remember that he was a believer, rather than continuing to see him as a dreamer. Just as King lived his life with purpose, I'm challenging you today to live your life with purpose. When Dr. King had a dream, and we all think that he left this earth too early, but what we know, and I personally know, his mission was fulfilled. The remainder of his dream is our responsibility. He was not a dreamer. He had a dream. He had a dream that is to be fulfilled. And that dream is to be fulfilled by us. He left us a roadmap on how to do that. Let's first address this statement, no man is an island. Everything Dr. King did, he did not do it by himself. Nobody can do anything by itself. And anybody in this room that has made up your mind, well, I can just mentor myself. No. Everybody needs a mentor, and everybody needs to be mentoring.
Amen. Yes.
If you haven't figured out who you're going to mentor and pour into them what you've learned, you need to think of that today. And if you don't have a mentor yet, and don't think of mentors of somebody with wealth and titles. Watch the person, someone who is doing things that you see are good to do, and ask them to be your mentor. I don't care if you're 65 years old. We all need mentors. My mom was my first mentor. And my mentors that I considered mentors have all passed. But you know what? It doesn't even matter. And the last one passed last year, but they all are still mentoring me. Just like Dr. Woodson is still mentoring all of us today. When you read his writings, he's mentoring you because he took the time to put things down on paper. So Dr. King in the course of his life, a life that we think of cut too short, he made his point very well known. And he said to us, if we are to go forward, we must go back and rediscover those precious values that all reality hinges on moral foundations and that all reality has spiritual control. Let's look at Frederick Douglass. When Frederick Douglass was born in 1818, he was sentenced to being a slave for life. Although everything around him said that was what he would be, deep inside he knew that to be a lie. Frederick Douglass once said, "It is easier to build strong children than to repair broken men." Douglass, also a believer, did just what King said a believer would do. Dr. King said believers would not be restrained. They would betray themselves. They would break out. They would risk their life for what they believed in. And that's what Frederick Douglass did. When he heard his slave owner's wife, the slave master, say to the wife that was teaching him to read, that you can never teach him how to read because he would then be unfit to be a slave. He was 8 years old. That thing stuck in his mind. He said, wow, so if I learn to read, I would be unfit to be a slave? And he set out right that day to learn to read. He did all kinds of ways, tricked the young boys that he was playmates with, teaching them how to tend. So what's that, bread? Oh, bread? Oh, what letters does that start with? B, B, well, how you finish spelling that? B-R-E, he did all kinds of tricking. He would carry bread in his pocket because everybody wanted bread. For this bread, show me how to write these alphabets. That is how he taught himself. And before you knew it, after all those years of living that life, he was free. And what did he do? He became an orator, an ambassador, a father. He knew that the life he was living was not who he was. And in 1963, 100 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was signed, and you look at all of these times in history, 50 years after when Dr. Woodson started in 1915, the association, we were supposed to have been freed in 1865, but we still weren't free. 100 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, our people were looking around again saying, wait a minute, we're still not free. And we're looking today, here we are again, we've celebrated 150 years, the sesquicentennial of the end of slavery, and we're still wondering, like, what is going on? And you know what's going on? We've been asleep, you guys. Those of us that sit in this room and say, why don't we know our history? I am awakening you today to the truth. The history is documented. It's there for you to get. So now what will you do? You've got to educate yourself. The best education is the education that you do for yourself. That's what Dr. Woodson did. He had to work in the coal mines all while he was growing up. 20 years old, he went to high school for the first time. At 20 years old, he entered high school, finished it in 2 years. Then he went to Berea College, which really was an integrated college at the time. Everybody needs to study Berea because it's really interesting. When he went to Berea, he got his degree there, but not before they said to him, when you came here, your high school education was only that of a third year high school person, 11th grade. So what did he do? He didn't let that discourage him. He took high school courses along with his college courses. He got his high school diploma a second time, and then he got his degree at Berea. He went to University of Chicago. When he got there, they said, your Berea degree isn't sufficient for a degree at Chicago. So what did he do? He didn't get discouraged. He took classes to get his undergrad again, along with his classes for his master's at the University of Chicago. And before you know it, he had another undergrad plus a master's. His college professors at Chicago, they were just starting their PhD program, and they saw his value. And they said to him, they wanted him to go to Harvard. He went to Harvard to work on his PhD. One of the exams he took, he was the only person to fail the exam. There were 16 other people in the room. But the professors, including the one that told him the Negro had no history, they all were the ones that graded that exam. Now, we cannot say what happened, but we're pretty sure that something went down on that exam. But did he stop? It did not discourage him. Dr. Woodson was the most traveled person probably in that room. He traveled all over the world even back at that time. He was studying education in places all over the world. And the one thing that I love about Dr. Woodson, because the president of Berea College, he definitely saw the black man as inferior. And he let that be known. In fact, they were really pushing their education for Appalachian whites. And the last year Dr. Woodson was at that school, they actually stopped blacks from going to that school. But he got his degree. And it was the reason why I was there. But you know what he said about that president at Berea? He learned from him. Because he saw how he was educating the Appalachian whites, who were pretty much on the equal with us economically. He learned from them what he was going to do for his own people. So even people who don't have the right idea, a wise man can learn from them. And we have to keep that in mind, because we're on a journey, a thought journey, a journey to change the way we see and think about the world, a journey to change the way we as a people will take the responsibility to seek out our purpose and live it. Because whatever your purpose is, we're lacking that right now in this world. If you're not doing it, nobody else is going to do your job. But what God does is he takes the ones that are doing to make it work together for the good. But we need you to awaken yourself. If you're still here today in this world as crazy as it appears to be, believe it or not, I am still very optimistic about what the world is going to be. I will not leave this world without leaving something behind for the children that will come behind me. We cannot take what we know and leave them at the place that they are, because many of our young people, they definitely don't know the history, because we're in the third generation, and I know this for a fact as far as in my culture. We're in the third generation of people who do not have any religious training. And let me tell you how crazy that is for black people. Every black person when I was growing up, the social life was the church, even if you weren't real about it. Everybody had a big Bible that sat on the coffee table, and even if it was never open, it was collecting dust. But it was in your house. We're in the third generation of my culture, of people who do not know at all God. So whose problem is that? It's our problem. That is why we're asking everyone to join this family mission statement activity. And why do we say family mentoring mission statement activity? We want you to start your process of mentoring right in your own home. Do not sit at the table anymore when someone says something racist and sit there quietly and not say anything. It's your responsibility. And when you sit there and do that, you're perpetuating race hate. You're perpetuating what has caused this country to end up where history is not being taught in the schools. Amen. The real, full account of history. Amen. And we've got to change that. And the only way it will change is it has to come from us. Mm-hmm. Dr. King once said, and I quote, "We must be concerned not merely who murdered the children, the four little girls in Birmingham, but about the system, the way of life, the philosophy which produced the murderers." King also said, "Evil only succeeds when good people do nothing." In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. The transformation that we see today will only change if we attack the system that has permitted to produce this racist society. There is a system that has been put in place that has produced what we see happening today. The only way we break that system down is first to love one another. We gotta love. And love is a what? It's an action. You love in spite of. It's not about what people do to you. You love in spite of, but what else is it? The spirit of meekness, where you can tell the truth in love. And if you don't think you can say it in love, just wait a little minute and pray about it and then say it. take your time on it. Because when somebody does something really harsh to you, let me tell you what happens. When it spurs up in you to have anger, there's something in your heart that has to be changed. So the next revolution that this country needs to have is a revolution of the heart. That is what we are working on. When I talk to organizations that say they are faith-based, you are the start of this revolution. We've got to change what's in our heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that is a fact. So I said, when somebody says something to you and it triggers anger, we are the higher animal. We have the ability to stop and think before we act. We don't do things instinctively. And if you're doing things instinctively, you need to go back and do this again. What can we do? Stop and think before we act. But what Dr. Carter G. Woodson has done is given us information to add to our thinking ability. If you're only going to think with untruths and distortions and things that have been planted in your mind, even if it was in your family, it's time for you to say, with that innate ability that you were born with to know right from wrong, hey, what my parents told me wasn't true about all black people. What my parents told me wasn't true about all white people. I've got to reparent myself. I've got to transform my thinking. I cannot join that system that has been put in place to cause a whole society to look at the color of someone's skin and see them as inferior. What is color? It's what makes us beautiful. It's what brings us together. So in order to change your thinking, you've got to put some new information. You've got to put the truth in your mind. That is the power of the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. People say to me all the time, it's the best kept secret. No, you guys, it's not a secret. It's not a secret. Stop, don't even say that. No, say, wait a minute. There's an association behind Black History Month? You mean Rosa Parks didn't start Black History Month? I get all kinds of people that they say started it. No, this organization is 104 years old. You have been impacted, every one of you, by this organization. This organization establishes the Black History theme every year in for February to be announced. Listen, everybody, closely. February is the month that we announce the theme. You're not just to study Black history in February. Right. That has never been the plan.
Right.
That was not Dr. Woodson's plan. So he introduces a theme. It started a week. It was expanded to a month during the bicentennial 1976 by the organization. Then we want you to take that theme and study it for the whole year, which adds one more piece of information to your knowledge base. We've been doing that since 1926. So now, everybody in this room, you've been deputized. When somebody says, no, they get February because it's the shortest month of the year. Everybody in this room will stop them and say, no, that place that's not a best kept secret, no, we don't want to be a secret, we are real. February is the month that the theme is introduced, and Asala has a luncheon every February to introduce the theme. They provide products for you to study the theme. You're to take those products, take them to your community, and teach everybody you know about that theme. You're to take it to your family, your church community. Every church represented in this room should have an institutional member of Asala. My church is a model. We have a cultural education experience ministry. In our budget every year, we put the $250 to become an institutional member. So we teach our church members, along with the Bible, the history of this country. We start back in Africa, because many people think that Black people's history started with slavery, but it did not. But you all know that. And this year, the theme is Black Migrations, but we are also commemorating the 400th year that Africans landed in the English colony of Virginia. Now, everybody knows we were here way before that, but we're talking about 1619 to 2019. We want you to study that. Asala has tools on its website at a 400 commemoration page that you can study that. And the theme for that is 400 years of perseverance. Our people persevere. The ones that got here, they survived the crossing of the Atlantic. They survived all kinds of things, which is why we're here today. They persevered. They were resilient. And let me tell you, in Dr. Woodson's Carter G. Woodson Appeal, he documented statistics showing that only 50 short years after slavery ended, there were over 70,000 black-owned businesses in this country. Now, how do you do that if you were inferior? These people came from Africa, fully human, with skills, abilities, knowledge, math, science, reading. They just couldn't speak English. But some of them spoke English because they were colonized. So this is what I want to end with you today. I want all of you to close your eyes one more time for me. I want you to think about your point of reference, where you came from. And I want you to say, I will, as of today, become an ambassador for the truth. I will look at my point of reference. I will reparent myself if needed. I will re-educate myself as needed, because I will be working in my purpose to do what I can do to change this country for the better. Thank all of you for having me today. I love you. Get to know Dr. Woodson and the association that he founded, the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. Thank you.
I want to thank each and every one of you for coming out. If you will put your email address on the back of that timeline and leave it on the table, we'll pick it up and Barbara will send you a copy of the timeline.
You have been listening to a Third Thursday Lunch presentation sponsored by the Fellowship of Reconciliation. The keynote speaker was the Association for the Study of African American Life and History's Barbara Dunn. Solutions to Violence was the Forward Radio program that produced this Third Thursday Lunch presentation. Solutions to Violence regularly airs on Mondays at 5 p.m., Tuesdays at 8 a.m., and Wednesdays at 6 a.m. The previous presentation is part of WFMP's Public Affairs Educational Programming. The views expressed are those of the speakers and not the station, or that of the Fellowship of Reconciliation. If you would like to share your views, you may email us at solutionstoviolence2018@gmail.com. I'm Jim Johnson. My co-host is Jamie McMillan, and our technical engineer is Carolyn Brooks Johnson. Thanks for listening.